Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents So Not My Thing by Melanie Jacobson, narrated by Georgina Marie. Chapter 1. I needed the perfect revenge outfit to wear for an ex who never knew he'd been in a relationship with me. Something that would draw no attention to me in our upcoming meeting, but would look amazing if he noticed me anyway. That was what happened when the universe decided to make you the butt of a cosmic joke. Which it had. In spades. I settled on a black suit with a slim-cut blazer and a pencil skirt paired with black slingback heels instead of the flats I often wore. The tasteful pearl earrings and necklace my grandmother had given me when I graduated from LSU 4 years ago finished the look. Chloe, my roommate, would tell me if I'd gotten my look right. I stepped into the hallway to find her door open to her empty bedroom, the rest of the apartment quiet. She was already at Miss Mary's restaurant downstairs then. Good. Two opinions were better than one. I picked up my laptop bag, a light blue leather satchel, and checked myself out in the mirror over the living room sofa. Blown out hair, subtle lipstick, understated but elegant outfit and accessories. On point, I told my reflection. I wished I felt as confident inside as she looked outside. I took the stairs down to the ground floor, then slipped through the back entrance of Mary's place, the breakfast cafe that had taken up residence on the bottom floor of our family's building in the Bywater for my whole life, and most of my dad's. I nodded at Jerome in the kitchen, well into breakfast prep. Miss Mary's grandson was a huge black man, built like an oak and steady as one, too. He shot me his usual shy smile and went back to whisking eggs. In the dining room, the weekday regulars sat in their usual spots, about a third of the 40 tables filled. Normal for a Tuesday. And just as normal was finding Chloe sitting with Miss Mary at the matriarch's favorite table in the back of the restaurant, each with a mug of coffee in front of them, the half-full pot beside Miss Mary.
"Morning, Ellie," she said as I stooped down to drop a kiss on her wrinkled brown cheek. "Am I pouring this to go, or will you be joining us like a civilized person?"
"To go, Miss Mary." I was already slipping my traveler tumbler from my bag. "I'm so sorry, but I have a big meeting today, and I need to get in early to prep." When she took the tumbler from me, I held out my arms and did a slow turn. "Can I get outfit approval?"
"You look sharp," she said, "but a soft kind of sharp, like you're about to pick somebody's pocket but make them feel glad you chose them. What look you going for?"
"A soft kind of sharp," I answered. "Nailed it." Chloe ran a glance down me over the rim of her mug. She was dressed for work at the newspaper, but her blue eyes blinked slowly, the caffeine clearly not in her system yet. "Almost makes me think I should take up yoga if it'll give me a butt like that." "I think that might have more to do with some really expensive tailoring." I smoothed down the back of my skirt, even though I knew it didn't have a single wrinkle in it. It was a fidget. I couldn't fidget during the meeting today. "Do I look hot, but also like I'm not trying to look hot, like you would only know I was hot if you were paying attention, but also I might not be easy to pay attention to if you weren't trying to pay attention?" Miss Mary and Chloe exchanged a look. "Maybe she's having a stroke," Chloe said helpfully. Her eyes were brighter. The coffee was doing its work. "I'm not having a stroke, just trying to strike a certain tone."
"You look good," Miss Mary said with the same finality she used for informing customers what they were getting for breakfast if they took too long to order.
It was reassuring, actually. If Miss Mary said it, it must be true. "And not like a try-hard," Chloe added, which clinched it for me. "What are you trying hard for but trying to look like you're not trying hard for?"
"It's nothing," I said.
"Nothing doesn't have you fussing over your clothes and going into work an hour early," Miss Mary noted. "Try again."
"It's... We have a big client coming in today, and I want to make a good impression, that's all.
A good impression, but also no impression, Chloe said.
It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma.
Miss Mary chuckled into her coffee mug. I like it better when you're not completely awake, I told Chloe.
You know how to make it stop. Tell us what's up.
She studied me with interest now. This was bad news, because Chloe was an aspiring investigative journalist, and once her curiosity was in play, she could be relentless. There was no way I was ready to tell them about Miles Crow. They'd both understand immediately, Miss Mary especially. She'd had a front-row seat to the whole disaster all those years ago, and she'd wiped my 14-year-old tears almost as often as my mom had. Chloe and I had met in college, after the worst of it. But there was no way not to know the story unless you'd lived under a rock for a decade. She'd understand why I hated Miles Crow with a white-hot passion I didn't even reserve for mice, and I hated mice. I hated Miles Crow more than poison ivy, itchy socks, the stink of the French Quarter on the hottest day of summer, people who didn't use turn signals, namaste puns on yoga tank tops, chicker bites, and the thick crust of smashed love bugs I had to scrub off my car's fender every Saturday in the spring. Combined. But somehow, he had ended up on my calendar this morning anyway. I had half a mind to run over to Miss Lila's shop in the French Quarter for a charm to ward off the bad juju coming for me. She said the stuff in the store was junk for tourists because real voodoo was too sacred for them, but I sort of wanted the comfort of a charm anyway. Just a little gree-gree to hang over the doorway, or maybe some sage to smudge. Something to stop the inevitability of Miles Crow reappearing in my life. I'd been quiet too long, and now I had Chloe and Miss Mary's undivided attention. Time for evasive maneuvers.
Are the chicken biscuits ready? I asked Miss Mary.
You know it, honey. Jerome's got them boxed and ready for you. Must be a big meeting if you need to bring in catering.
The interrogation wasn't over as she reached for the coffee pot. My boss is pulling out all the stops, so you know that means breakfast from Mary's place.
Course it does, she said,
unmoved by my flattery. She had the best chicken biscuits in New Orleans, and she knew it.
Thank her for the order, but I still don't like her running you as ragged as she does.
You sound like my mom, I said, accepting my full tumbler of coffee.
We both get to claim you. I figure I raised you. She studied me like she was calculating. About 25%, and your mama did the rest.
True that. I took a sip of the hot chicory coffee and smiled. She still doesn't make coffee as good as yours.
Nobody can.
Miss Mary spoke with the calm certainty of gospel truth.
But I sure wish Jerome would learn. I'm not going to be around forever.
You going somewhere? I asked, pausing before taking another sip. Chloe blinked at Miss Mary. Is something wrong? Are you sick? Miss Mary looked from one to the other of us like we were crazy. I'd seen the same look so many times from her in my life that I relaxed and took another sip of my coffee.
Nothing is wrong with me, she said. I just shouldn't be the only person in my life who can make a decent cup of coffee.
Fair enough, I said. I glanced down at my watch. It was pretty, a tortoiseshell band with a gold-plated face that I'd picked up at the Banana Republic outlet. But one day, it would be a slim gold Rolex, the gift Brenda, our lead broker, gave to each agent when they listed their first 10 properties. I had less than a year to hit that number if I wanted to do it in record time for our brokerage. To be clear, I didn't care about Rolexes. But I cared that winning one from Brenda meant I was on my way to my dreams. If it weren't for those big goals, I'd have called in sick today or found anywhere else to be except the office when Miles Crow came for the big pitch Brenda had put together. But she wanted all hands on deck, a demonstration of the full resources she would bring to bear in finding Miles Crow the best commercial real estate in the city. And that meant every agent there, smiling, oohing and eyeing over his second-rate celebrity self,
and Brenda's presentation. As soon as his name had come up, I'd stayed out of the office discussions, but we had an open floor plan, and I couldn't help hearing the details even though I didn't care about them. Apparently, now that Hollywood had lost interest in him, Miles was returning home to open a jazz club where he could perform every night and people had to listen to him because he owned the place. What a tool. He hadn't changed in 12 years. And since I had to look like a supportive team player, I'd sit quietly at the conference table as far from Miles Crowe as possible and get through this morning with my dignity intact. That would be the biggest victory of all, since it was my dignity he'd stolen all those years ago. "I'm going to get the chicken biscuits from Jerome, then head out," I said. "Thank you for the coffee, Miss Mary."
"Anytime."
It was our usual routine. I knew she'd have coffee waiting for me whenever I came down for the day, and if I took too long coming down, she sent one of the servers up to leave some in front of my door. When I'd moved into the apartment over the cafe after graduation, I'd tried to convince her she didn't need to do anything special for me just because my parents owned the building. She'd fixed me with a stare that shut me right up. "I've been making coffee for the upstairs tenants, no matter who they were, since I've been running my place. You ain't special. Or else, y'all all special. One of the two." But that didn't mean I would take it for granted. My mom would be appalled if I ever neglected a thank you. Jerome helped me load the flat of biscuits into the trunk of my Mercedes, which sounded fancier than it was. It was the cheapest model available, and I'd bought it used when someone had returned it after a 3-year lease. Even then, I'd had to take out a loan. I didn't even want a luxury car, but you had to project success to commercial real estate clients. A Mercedes, even a boring one, could do that for you. Our office was downtown, the Central Business District, a 15-minute drive from my apartment. I spent it listening to the Gladiator soundtrack because it always sanded down the spikes of my anxiety. I needed to walk into the meeting appearing as calm, cool, and collected as possible. It was the exact opposite of the way Miles Crowe had last seen me, but I'd changed enough in 12 years that he shouldn't recognize me. I didn't want him to see even a trace of the gawky teenage girl he'd humiliated publicly on national television. That girl, Gabby Jones, had been a frizzy-haired, scrawny, zitty, brace-faced, glasses-wearing, tear-stained high school freshman. Graduating from puberty, LASIK, hair serums, gym time, and careful study of fashion trends had turned me into Elle Jones, a sophisticated 26-year-old with a confident smile and a slight air of mystery. I hoped, anyway. It was the image I'd cultivated since college. I pulled into Crescent City Property Investments, retrieved Miss Mary's biscuits, and rode the elevator up to our offices on the 5th floor. It was the premier boutique agency for New Orleans commercial real estate, the biggest of the little guys. Because I brought my family's historic Bywater building with me as a client, I could have gotten on with one of the major national brokerages, but I hadn't wanted that. I'd wanted to be somewhere with roots in the community, and that meant Crescent. The reception desk sat empty, but Brenda was already in her office, the only private office on our floor. She had a very literal open-door policy, and this morning was no different as she typed furiously at her keyboard. "Hey," I said, popping my head in. "You're early. I wanted to make sure I got the chicken biscuit sandwiches here in time. Need any help setting up?" "I think it's okay, but let's go look." I followed her to the conference room. Through the windows, I could see she'd already placed a linen folder embossed with the company logo at every seat. Each folder contained slick brochures, net sheets, and disclosures for the locations she'd be highlighting in her presentation. I set down the biscuits on the table designated for refreshments. High-end paper goods sat in neat stacks and waited only for the coffee and other small bites to be delivered by a local cafe. While Brenda fussed with the alignment of the napkin display, I made my most crucial decision of the morning. I picked my seat. The whole office would be in the meeting except for the receptionist, Jay. Miles Crow was bringing his business manager, so that meant 8 people at the table, with him sitting beside Brenda at its head. I needed to be on the same side of the table with 1 person between Miles and me, and 1 person between me and the screen. Optimum invisibility. I dropped my laptop bag in the chair and browsed through the folder, but I knew the specs for each property by heart. Brenda had zeroed in on properties for the jazz club here in the business district, but closer to the hotels and high-end restaurants. I got it. The business district had a sophisticated vibe and not too many music venues. But they were expensive leases, and while that made sense for Crescent's bottom line, it wasn't the way I would have gone. In fact, if it were anyone but Miles Crow opening the club, I'd say that he should be looking in the Bywater. But I didn't want Miles Crow in my neighborhood. I didn't even want him in my city.
"Hey, y'all!"
One of the other agents, Dave, popped his head in.
"We looking good?"
"We're looking good," Brenda confirmed. "Let me run through this presentation with you 1 more time before the client gets here." Dave and I obediently took our seats and listened as Brenda did her spiel, other agents checking in with a wave as they arrived. She was an old pro, and the only feedback I could have offered was to pick different properties, so I kept my mouth shut other than to compliment her. When the pastry delivery from the cafe came, Brenda turned her attention to fussing over the display. I checked my not-a-Rolex-yet to see that we had 10 minutes before Miles Crow was due to arrive.
"Yeah, right. I'd bet my future Rolex he would be late. He was a notorious diva, which was why a lot of his career had fizzled.
He'd made buckets of money for a few years there, but his tantrums had become so legendary that he hadn't been worth the trouble to hire anymore. Or so I'd heard through office gossip. I'd made a point not to follow his career. By 9:10, my future Rolex was safe. No Miles and 1 very twitchy Brenda. By the 20-minute mark, I was beginning to wonder if I'd stressed myself out over his visit for nothing. By the 30-minute mark, I relaxed enough to slip into the conference room and serve myself some coffee. Someone needed to enjoy it before it went stale. You know what? Might as well get some food, too. My stomach got weird when I was nervous, so I hadn't bothered eating this morning, but there was no reason not to now. I'd leave the chicken biscuits for the rest of the office, since I could have them whenever I wanted, but I opened the pastry box from the other cafe to browse. It had about 4 different Danish, plus beignets. Beignets. I picked up one of the perfect, puffed, deep-fried squares of dough. Normally, they were a terrible choice for any kind of formal setting, because the coating of powdered sugar had a tendency to get everywhere, just like with funnel cake. But since Miles the Diva wasn't coming, I didn't care. I scooped one up and treated myself. I closed my eyes to savor it. I knew exactly what went into a beignet. Just flour, oil, butter, and the sugar, really. But somehow, they were magic. And this was a good one. Surely, you know what happened next. Surely. Yeah. Suddenly, every head in the office turned toward the door, and almost like puppets jerked up by their strings, they all rose and headed toward me in the conference room, while Brenda went to greet with a smile the man who had ruined half my life. Chapter 2. I barely had time to study Miles Crow before he and his manager were trailing Brenda into the conference room, Miles already extending his hand to each of us for a shake. He was still hot. Shoot. I didn't have time to set down my dainty dessert plate with the remnants of powdered sugar on it before he was turning to me. But that ended up working to my benefit. When he held out his hand to me for a shake, I gave him a polite smile and a nod toward the plate like, "See, hands full." He shot me a quizzical look, and I froze for a second. Had he recognized me? We'd never met in person, but my face had been everywhere on the internet for years, and it was possible.
But he didn't say anything before turning toward the next person, so I dropped my plate into the trash can and walked to my seat. Walking had never felt more complicated. I wanted to strike the perfect balance between casual and purposeful. Instead, I kept fighting the urge to hunch and scurry. I forced my shoulders back until I caught Dave's eyes widen and realized that my subtle power stance looked more like I was sticking out my boobs. I dropped my shoulders faster than a Mardi Gras necklace could hit the ground at a parade and slid into my seat to watch Miles work the rest of the room.
"I thought people were supposed to look shorter in real life than they do on TV," Donna, the office manager, said quietly from her seat next to mine. "But he looks taller."
"I guess." Her comment gave me a reason to study him for a few seconds while Dave took his turn getting his handshake. Miles had filled out since he was a teenager, growing into the promise his broad shoulders had shown on his skinny frame back then. He was still on the lanky side with a build more like a runner than a gym rat, although he wore a fitted black sport coat, and the plain white T-shirt beneath it hinted that he made time for the gym. His distressed jeans and worn black Converse saved him from looking like a douchey frat bro and more like a low-key star. Back then, his thick, dark hair had a tendency to flop and curl. Now it was cut with some length on top, not enough to spill over everywhere, and a close fade on the side.
"Well, let's get started, shall we?"
Brenda said, leading him and his manager to the seats on either side of her at the head of the table.
Sorry we're late, Miles said. We were...
Don't worry about it.
Brenda was already waving away the rest of his words. You'll find Crescent is a very laid-back environment. Donna kicked my foot beneath the table. It would be fair to say we were somewhat flexible, but I didn't think Brenda had ever had a single laid-back moment in her life. She was hard-charging energy all the time.
In the folders in front of you, you will find the spec sheets for the three properties we think will serve you best, but I'll put them up on the main screen while we take a virtual tour.
That was Donna's cue to start the presentation, while Brenda rose to narrate from our end of the table. Dave sat across from me, and as he turned from Miles's end toward the screen, his gaze swept over me then paused, his eyes widening a tiny bit again. I glanced down to make sure that my boobs weren't somehow sticking out without my knowledge, and gave a small gasp. Donna glanced over and immediately gave me a sympathetic look. I could add a metric ton of sugar to my power suit accessories. There was a sprinkling of it all over my lapels, down to the first two buttons, stark against the black fabric. No, sprinkling was kind. It was a sugar apocalypse all up on my bosoms. No wonder Miles Crow had looked at me in confusion. He must be wondering how a toddler got invited to the grown-up table.
"Why didn't you tell me?"
I mouthed to Donna.
"I just saw it," she mouthed back.
She handed me the napkin under her coffee and I took it, but I didn't bother wiping at the sugar. Anyone with beignet practice knows that the sugar only smears when you rub at it, like erasers pushing chalk dust on a dirty board. There was no way to fix this until I could get to the bathroom and dissolve it with water, but I couldn't walk out in the middle of Brenda's presentation. I tried to pay attention to what she said, but I knew the properties inside and out. They weren't sites I would have picked. They would all work as a club space, but none had the vibe I would want if I were opening a jazz club. But the three properties she was presenting were double profitable for the firm because, as the listing agent, Brenda would earn a double commission. Who knew? Maybe these were exactly the kinds of polished places Miles was looking for. I snuck a glance down at him to gauge his reaction. His dark blue eyes were crinkled like he was listening intently, but I couldn't tell one way or the other what he thought. Brenda brought her presentation to a close. "I think you'll agree that each of these properties has unique advantages. It just depends on what you want to prioritize."
"That second one looks good," Miles's business manager, Aaron, said.
"The one near the Sonesta," Brenda nodded. "It would be an excellent option."
"You'd share parking with the hotel,"
Dave added. This is what we were here for, to jump in and hype the properties.
Parking is a huge deal in the city, Donna added. Subleasing rights from the hotel is one of the easiest ways to solve that.
Other agents jumped in as well, each repeating features they liked about the property. I kept quiet because they had it handled.
I don't know if it's the right vibe,
Miles finally said, after hearing them all out. It gave me a jolt to hear him use the same word I'd been thinking.
I think I need something scruffier.
His voice had deepened since high school, but it still had a round, mellow tone to it. Like if I could taste his words, I'd pick up a faint trace of honey. Not that I was thinking about that.
You can certainly adapt the interiors to reflect your aesthetic, Brenda reassured him.
Let's take a look at Poydras Street again. And she was off and running on why the first property would be perfect. I kept my eyes on my folder and prayed that the other agents would help a tiny bit less so this meeting could end faster.
Elle?
I glanced up when Brenda called my name to find everyone looking at me expectantly, and warmth spread from the back of my neck to my cheeks. I hated the way my skin prickled.
I'm sorry?
Miles asked what you thought of these properties. I looked down the table to where he sat. He smiled.
You haven't said much. I wondered if you had a different opinion.
I didn't hesitate. Brenda knows this market better than anyone. He gave a slow nod.
Thanks.
How about if we schedule some on-site visits? Brenda asked.
Yeah, sure.
Miles didn't seem too excited about the idea, but his manager pulled out his phone like he was checking his schedule. Great. We'll let the rest of these folks get back to their other clients while we set something up. Thanks for your help, team. We all rose as she admonished us to be sure to grab some of the refreshments. I held my satchel across my chest as I made my way out, trying to angle my body so that Miles saw even less of me before I left. I dropped it at my desk and beelined for the restroom. I'd almost made it in when Brenda called my name from the conference room door.
Elle, can you come join us, please?
I half turned.
Yeah, in a second.
I had to get this powdered sugar off first.
We don't want to keep Miles waiting.
Her voice was firm and a touch cool. I hesitated, debating whether I should leave the sugar as it was or try to brush it off. Brush it off, I decided. At least they would realize I knew it was there. I made a few ineffective swipes at it as I headed toward the conference room, smudging it as badly as I expected to. Sorry about this, I said, looking down at the mess so I wouldn't have to meet Miles's eyes.
Been there,
he said, and I glanced up at the note of humor in his tone.
Not sure who even orders beignets for a business meeting anyway.
I did. Brenda said even more stiffly than she'd called my name. Crap, I didn't want to get on her bad side. My fault for eating them. Should have known I didn't have the skills to outsmart a beignet.
You sure this is the agent you want?
Aaron asked.
Ignore him,
Miles said. What? I wasn't totally sure I'd heard Aaron right. Brenda offered me a professional smile. Seems Miles would prefer to work with you on finding the right property for his club.
Oh.
I quit brushing at my boobs and let my hands fall to my sides. That's not the way to go here. Like I said in the meeting, Brenda knows this market better than anyone. You'll be in excellent hands with her. I gave him the same professional smile Brenda had just given me.
It's true. Brenda confirmed. Not to put too fine a point on it, but I've been at this for 20 years, and I'm happy to help you find the perfect location.
I need to... I gave a vague wave toward my sugar situation. Good luck with your search. I hurried to the bathroom, wondering if anyone would notice if I hid in there the whole day. The mirror revealed a hot mess. Darker dots where the sugar had landed trailed by smears where I'd tried to wipe them off. Pathetic. I dabbed it away with 17 billion wet paper towels. At least it dissolved with water and the black fabric didn't show the wet spots. I eyed my reflection again,
wondering how she'd betrayed me after such a promising start this morning. My lipstick had worn off a little, but the rest of my makeup looked okay.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?